ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4, द क्रिएशन ऑफ द फोर्थ ऑर्डर, चैप्टर 26। किंग परंजना goes to the forest to hunt, and his queen becomes angry. Part 7, purport to verses 20 through 26.
Guru Mukha Padma Vakya.
Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved by self-endeavor. One must therefore approach a self-realized Krishna conscious person and touch his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Naishang mitistavad urukramangring sprishati anartha pagamo yad artha mahiyasang pada rajo vishekam niskinchana nangna vranita yavat. One cannot come to the precincts of Krishna consciousness unless he or she touches the dust of the lotus feet of a person who has become Mahatma, a great devotee. This is the beginning of the surrendering process. Lord Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him, and this surrendering process begins when one touches the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. By sincerely rendering service to a bona fide spiritual master, one begins his or her spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. Touching the lotus feet of a spiritual master means giving up one's false prestige and one's unnecessarily puffed up position in the material world. Those who remain in the darkness of material existence due to their falsely prestigious positions as so-called scientists and philosophers are actually atheists, for they do not know the ultimate cause of everything. And although bewildered, they are not ready to surrender themselves to the lotus feet of a person who knows things in their proper perspective. In other words, one cannot arouse Krishna consciousness simply by one's own mental speculation. One must surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Only this process will help one. According to Vedic civilization, domestic animals and servants are treated exactly like one's own children. Animals and children are sometimes punished, not out of vengeance, but out of love. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servant, not out of vengeance, but out of love, just to correct the servant and bring the servant to the right point. King Puranjana thus took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. Puranjana considered himself the most obedient servant of his queen. The queen was angry at Puranjana for his sinful activities, namely hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Puranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife, the queen. And so in the same way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he or she should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he or she takes it as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. This was mentioned by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Krishna, begging forgiveness for his offense of stealing the cowherd boys and calves. tattenukam pang susamikshamano bhunjana eva makratam vipakam hridvag vapurbir vididhan namaste jiveta yo muktipade sa daya bhak. This verse by Lord Brahma states that the devotee accepts a reversal of his or her position in life as a benediction by the Lord, and consequently offers Krishna more obeisances and prayers, thinking that the punishment is due to one's past misdeeds, and that Krishna is punishing one very mildly. The punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. In the Manu Samhita, it is said that the king should be considered merciful when the king condemns a murderer to death, because a murderer punished in this life becomes freed from one's sinful activity, and in the next life takes birth cleared of all sins. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, then he or she becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. It is said that when a foolish man is instructed in something very nice, he generally cannot accept it. Indeed, the foolish man actually becomes angry. Such anger is compared to the poison of a serpent, for when a serpent is fed milk and bananas, its poison actually increases. Instead of becoming merciful or sober, the serpent increases its poisonous venom when fed such nice foodstuffs. And similarly, when a fool is instructed, he or she does not rectify oneself, but actually becomes angry. The effeminate husband, simply being attracted by the external beauty of his wife, tries to become her most obedient servant. Sripada Shankara Acharya has therefore advised that we not become attracted by a lump of flesh and blood. The story is told that at one time a man, very much attracted to a beautiful woman, wooed that woman in such a way that she devised a plan to show him the very ingredients of her beauty. The woman made a date to see him, and before seeing him, she took a purgative, and the whole day and night she simply passed stool, and she thus preserved that stool in a pot. The next night, when the man came to see her, she appeared very ugly and emaciated. When the man inquired from her about the woman with whom he had an engagement, she then replied, "Oh, I am that very woman." But the man refused to believe her, not knowing that she had lost all of her beauty due to the violent purgative which had caused her to pass stool day and night. When the man began arguing with her, the woman said that she was not looking beautiful because she was now separated from the ingredients of her beauty. Then the man asked how she could be so separated. And the woman replied, "Oh, come on, I will show you." The woman then showed him the pot filled with liquid stool and vomit. Thus the man became aware that a beautiful woman is simply a lump of matter composed of blood, stool, urine, and similar other disgusting ingredients. This is the actual fact, but in a state of illusion, man becomes attracted by the illusory beauty and becomes a victim of Maya. King Paranjana begged his queen to return to her original beauty. Paranjana tried to revive her, just as a living entity tries to revive one's original consciousness, which is known as Krishna consciousness, and that is very beautiful. All the beautiful features of the queen could be compared to the beautiful features of Krishna consciousness. When one returns to one's original Krishna consciousness, he or she actually becomes steady, and then one's life becomes successful. According to Vedic civilization, a Brahmana, or one who is properly qualified to understand the absolute truth, that is, one belonging to the most intelligent social order, as well as the devotee of Lord Krishna, who is known as Mura Dvisha, enemy of the demon named Mura, such persons are not subject to the rules and regulations of the state. In other words, upon breaking the laws of the state, everyone can be punished by the government except Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas never transgress the laws of the state or the laws of nature, because they know perfectly well the resultant reactions caused by such law-breaking. Even though they may sometimes appear to violate the laws, they are not to be punished by the king. These instructions were given to King Prachina Varhishat by Narada Muni. King Paranjana was a representative of King Prachina Varhishat, and Narada Muni was reminding King Prachina Varhishat of his forefather, Maharaj Prithu, who never chastised a Brahmana or Vaishnava. One's pure intelligence or pure Krishna consciousness becomes polluted by material activities. Pure consciousness can be revived by the process of sacrifice, charity, pious activities, etc. But when one pollutes his or her Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or Vaishnava, it is very difficult then to revive one's Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described Vaishnava aparadha, or the offense to a Vaishnava, as the mad elephant offense. So one should be very careful not to offend the Vaishnava or Brahmana. Even the great yogi Durvasa was harassed by the Sudarshana Chakra when he offended the Vaishnava, Maharaj Ambarisha, who was neither a Brahmana nor a sannyasi, but was actually an ordinary householder. But Maharaj Ambarish was a Vaishnava, a devotee, and consequently Durvasa Muni was chastised. The conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate those sins simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if one pollutes his or her Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or Vaishnava, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnava or Brahmana. This was the course that Durvasa Muni had to follow, and thus he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarisha. Vaishnava aparadha cannot be atoned for by any means other than by begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava. Every woman looks very beautiful when decorated with tilak and vermilion. A woman generally becomes very attractive when her lips are colored with reddish saffron or vermilion. But when one's consciousness and intelligence are without any brilliant thoughts about Krishna, then one's consciousness and intelligence becomes morose and lusterless, so much so that one cannot derive any benefit despite one's sharp intelligence. Both man and woman desire one another. That is the basic principle of material existence. Women in general always keep themselves beautiful so that they can be attractive to their lusty husbands. When a lusty husband comes before his wife, the wife takes advantage of his aggressive activities and enjoys life. Generally, when a woman is attacked by such an aggressive man, whether it be her husband or even some other man, she thus enjoys the attack, being too lusty herself. In other words, when one's intelligence is properly utilized, both the intellect and the intelligent person enjoy one another with great satisfaction. Yan maitunadi grihamehi sukang hi tuchchang kandu yenena karayor eva dhuka dhukam. In his prayers to Nrsingadev in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj stated that the actual happiness of the karmis is sex life. They work hard outside the home, and to satiate their hard labor, they come home to enjoy sex life. So, King Paranjana went to the forest to hunt, and after his hard labor, Paranjana returned home to enjoy sex life. If a man lives outside the home and spends a week in a city or somewhere else, at the end of the week, he becomes very anxious to return home and enjoy sex with his wife. Karmis work very hard simply to enjoy sex. Modern human society has improved the materialistic way of life simply by inducing unrestricted sex life in many different ways. This is most prominently visible in the Western world. Recorded November 25, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Om Tat Sat.
After life, just to chant your name. It's insufficient, so insufficient to properly hear. Trinada peace, sweet chain of Jerodiva, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Anadena, Kirtaniya, Sanahadi.
It's insane.